Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Titans lose 38-30 to the Indianapolis Colts yesterday to fall to 3-12. At one point, down 38-7 in the game. Just an absolute beauty put out there. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How's it going?
It's going really well. Appreciate
super
you taking time to be with us. So, PK, you and I had a lot of discussion last week about the comments from Brian Callahan and whether or not the Titans were soft and his rant that he went into last week. And then they go out there yesterday and they allow 335 yards on the ground on 50 carries by the Indianapolis Colts. How do you reconcile and explain what we saw on that front yesterday?
Well, they did not exactly back him up, I would say, in terms of being physically or mentally tough against the run, which, you know, is generally the first hallmark of all of that. It's also the way they respond to it. You know, Tavondre Sweat told Nick Suss, like, you got to watch the film. Like, there's some magical, mystical revelation on the film that makes it look not that bad. Or Jeffrey Simmons says, stopping the run is easy. Well, you know, show us that it's easy. And then he made sure to say, you know, it's an 11-man job. Like, not my job. There are a lot of guys who wanted it not to be their fault yesterday. Not a lot of guys, I didn't feel like, raising their hand saying, you know, I was part of the problem. It's just, you know, and then the Simmons talking a lot about it. It was that gap scheme that got us in Washington. Like, you know, if we're run on in that gap scheme, well, that doesn't qualify somehow as real or substantive run game. Like, well, that's in a different basket over here. If you're doing it that way, it doesn't really count. But it's just some mental confusion about what giving up a lot of run yards means against them, and a lot of kind of excuses or pardoning of it. I just don't get it. And, you know, I'm anxious to talk to Denard Wilson. This is one of those situations where it's silly to have to wait until Thursday, an awkward week too. I don't know what our schedule is for sure because we're not working on Wednesday, obviously, but it's kind of inexplicable what they did in terms of run defense. Not kind of, it is.
Yeah, I don't know, PK. I mean, I'm going to side with them a little bit. I mean, the gap scheme's only been around for about 140 years, you know. So you gotta think that's got to be kind of difficult. Actually, I would love to see the film on this, you know, like the film session breakdown of, because like it really. I mean, look, let's in all seriousness profess our limitations, right? Like, I mean, you know, it can be an execution error here, a misfit there. But when you get to 300 plus, when you get to numbers that like Jonathan Taylor had when he was at Wisconsin playing against Kent State, you know, then you have to think there's some lacking effort and intensity and toughness, right?
Yes. I'd like to see the film session with coaches going over it with them, but I don't know why I have to be punished that with them telling me I have to watch it again. I came to Indianapolis. I saw it. You know, I'm struggling like everybody to make it through the season, and they're telling me, go watch it again. I want to pass on that. I already saw it once, and then I rewatched the big Taylor runs. I've seen enough, like most of the fan base.
So, PK, as you look at the way this all played out yesterday, I really enjoyed your piece at PaulKuharski.com where the Titans are kindly requesting the prayers of the people. Arden Key putting it out there that pray for us. Lord, help us here on this. What did you make of just the falling down 38-7 to that team? Like, nobody is confusing Indianapolis for a Super Bowl contender. You're down 38-7 at one point in this game. And we talked earlier in the year about how the rest of this year are going to be a big case study for Brian Callahan. Like, can he keep this thing together as they move forward. And yeah, they battled back. They made it 38-30. I don't really care about that. Like that was not an inspiring performance for the team to help out their head coach yesterday.
No, not at all. And you know, I mean, I'm still with the continuity club, but I had some expectations here. I actually thought they were going to win that game, and I don't mean during the comeback. I mean, going into it, I don't think Indianapolis is very good at all. And I mean, Anthony Richardson proved that, but he was completely unnecessary in that game. Titans managed to make the quarterback position irrelevant for their opponent, which is pretty impressive feat. I don't know. That just didn't really have anything. And then they talk about that. Peter Skoronski said the same thing that was in the Mike Herndon story that set off the whole toughness and toughness conversation in the first place. He said it on October 23rd. You know that they reach an inflection point and they don't they can't live up to it, and then they fall apart. And yesterday he said, you know, any little thing happens and doesn't go well, and it's a mudslide. So I think that's really telling. You know, 2 months apart, one of your key guys sees the same exact thing with your team that it just can't handle any kind of adversity and doesn't survive anything, withstand anything, stand up to anything.
So I saw T-Mac, Terry McCormick's tweet about, so it's 20 and 20 combined for Levis and Rudolph, and they have the exact same QB rating, which is quite a feat. Shouldn't the Titans just go back to Levis?
I don't think it should have gone away from Levis, but I feel like once he made the move to Rudolph, he was saying it was for the rest of the way. So I'm surprised he left the door open to go back to Levis now. And I think he looks kind of flaky if he changes again. So to me, the move last week to Rudolph seemed like it was the move. And yesterday he says, I don't know. So I don't think he looks, I mean, he doesn't look good in a lot of ways, but I think going back to Levis looks really weak now. But
I don't disagree. I'm just trying to maximize the like tolerability of watching these last two games.
Yeah, well, I don't know where that ranks on his pro-con scale. I personally would like for it to rank higher. But look, I mean, my trip to Jacksonville is not going to be made or broken by Will Levis playing or not playing. It's going to be bad either way, I would presume. I'm looking at one of those two guys in Mac Jones. So, you know, what's the tolerability factor either way? I mean, not good.
Yeah. No,
Just remember, don't use that urinal that's right next to the sink with no divider between them if you can do it at all costs in Jacksonville. You know what I'm talking about.
Your bathroom fascination is very disturbing.
I mean, it's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Back me up.
I don't put a lot of thought into it. If I have to I go pee.
Flow away then. All right, then. Let it rip.
I get back to the chocolate fountain. Which no longer exists.
PK, I want to ask you about Arden Key. So Arden Key before the season, yeah, you know, we talked about this quote a lot where he basically said, you know, Shane Bowen, old coaching staff, didn't make any adjustments. Like there are no corrections out there.
And
then we've gone full circle now. He said yesterday they didn't adjust, and you ask why they didn't adjust. I don't know. I don't know why not. That's a coach's question. I don't know why not. So I guess the coaching around here has just been unbelievably bad the last few years. They don't make any adjustments, and we've gone full circle with Arden Key. Now the old coaching staff doesn't make any adjustments, nor does the new one.
Damn, I wish I remembered that Shane Bowen thing, and I could have really kept going. I sacrificed talking to Simmons for my private time with Arden, which was productive. But it
pretty
could have
good,
been more
pretty
productive.
Worthwhile.
Could have been more productive if I had your memory. So I will circle back to him on that this week. Yeah, sounds like several years of not adjusting. And it certainly seemed like, I mean, they didn't do anything different against the run. I don't know if you saw the moment in the broadcast, but somebody called my attention to it, so I went and taped it and put it out. But they had an extensive conversation between Brian and Bill Callahan.
Yes. Did you ever get good lip reading?
And then they cut away from it, and then they cut back to it. Well, John Boy, who covers the Yankees and does a ton of baseball stuff, does major lip reading and context clues and stuff. So some people have tagged him on that. So maybe we'll get back to it. But also, of course, that tweet lends itself to people pretend lip reading and just having them say what they want them to say. So don't get caught up in that thread unless you really want to be banging your head against the wall.
We should do a contest this week.
Yeah, no doubt
about
it.
Closest, if John Boy actually comes through for us, who comes closest to what John Boy comes up with?
I hope John Boy does that. That'll be good stuff. PK, last thing for you. I do want to get your thoughts on this quote from Mo Alie-Cox that was put out there from the Colts yesterday. Quote, "It's hilarious because we went out there and they were like, oh, it's a screen. And then one of the DEs was like, man, they're about to give it to Jonathan Taylor. He's about to run for 300 on us. Once he said that, I was like, yeah, we got him." That's what Mo Alie-Cox had to say about the Titans yesterday. What are you? What's your reaction to that quote?
Well, I mean, I would presume that DE is Arden Key, not a DE, but an outside linebacker. I mean, who are the candidates there? I don't think Sebastian Joseph Day is talking like that.
I doubt it was Harold Landry.
Harold Landry, I don't think is doing a lot of talking in any situation, right? So, it doesn't surprise me that there would be a defeatist Titan on the field in the middle of all of that. It would surprise me if there wasn't.
Yep, no doubt. PK, Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Merry Christmas, boys. Thanks.
Absolutely. PK, hey, PK, we'll see you Wednesday morning, man. Show up just like you always do, same time. We'll be there. All right? We'll see you at the studio.
He left. He's gone.
Damn it.
I think he left in the middle of you saying that, too, so just wanted no part of what you're saying.
He had no answer. By the way, Someone on the Dustin from Hopkinsville said, PK is a guy when there's 6-year-olds open, you're at the 7th in the corner, and he chooses the one right next to you. You're so right, Dustin.
We did talk about this on Friday, like your fascination with that urinal. And he's got the fascination. Apparently, an old chocolate fondue fountain in Jacksonville that no longer is there.
I did not get to experience that. Yeah. Oh, no, I guess I do remember that. Downstairs, that's right. Yeah. I don't know, man. Between the chocolate fountain, the milky pool, and the fact that if you're trying to wash your hands and someone's at that urinal, you're going to get splatter from both the sink and the urinal, it's quite a place.
Just a great visual image to head into that. By the way, going to be in the 70s in Jacksonville this weekend. So, number one, congratulations, Jarvis Browning. Going to be warm enough to play. And number two, might see some people in that milky pool next weekend.
That's exciting. PK should be excited for this trip. This is great. He's going to have a good time.
We'll take your reaction to what PK had to say there. 615-737-1025. A couple more thoughts to get to coming up next with Rex Road. We'll do that. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.